Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh fresh his arm, at whose heart it departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like unto the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and it shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. May the Lord add his blessing to that portion of his own truth. You can see him on the screen now. Got a title, and Andrew mentioned this morning that he had a title, and Pastor often says about the title for his. And the reason why we have a title is so that when people go out, they don't turn to each other and say, well, I don't know what that was all about. But anyway, it's just to help. Recently, Pastor asked for a testimony from the men. This tomorrow would have been the day that we look forward to all the year round. It would have been our men's retreat. I was hoping for a gasp of pity there that we're not able to go again this year. But there we are. But Pastor recently asked for testimonies from the men in terms of some of the experience we've had over many, many years. I can't think of how many years it is, probably 10, 12 years since we've been doing men's retreat. And they have been amazing years. And as I thought about it, there were so many things that came to mind. Some of the amazing messages that David Moore had given us. Some of the amazing teachings we had around his word. But it set me thinking. In the morning, there was always a devotion. First thing, about 8 o'clock in the morning. But most of the time, I couldn't go because I was the assistant chef. And the chef was a harsh man. I was the gopher. He'd just say to me, go for the bacon, go for the sausages. And so I couldn't go to these devotions. But one day, Geraint was speaking. And he allowed me to go. Unlocked my chain and off I went. But seriously, it's still a memorable it's still a memorable occasion. It was a lovely, lovely devotion. Only about a quarter of an hour. But Geraint spoke on one of the verses I mentioned in that passage. Verse 8 of Jeremiah 17. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, for her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. It reminded me of one of my favorite unfortunately, we have a problem. Houston. It reminded me of one of my favorite psalms, and that's Psalm 1. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth her fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Many years ago, my eldest son, which started a business on his own, decided to give a gift to his all his clients. And Jan had one because she worked with him as a, doing his some of his accounts. And when she brought it home, it was a twig. Just one twig. And I said, that's a gift. So I thought, well, we'll put it in the ground and see what happens. This is it now. The reason I'm showing that is because, unfortunately, it has to be cut down. Because this little twig grew and grew and grew, but not just upwards, it grew downwards. And all the roots are now pushing the wall apart, and one wall has even fallen down. So sadly, we have to dispense of it. I reminded my sister-in-law, who had a tree right outside her house, and the council had to take it down and rip up the roots, because you may have seen lots of places where the footpath is raised because of the roots pushing the... Well, this was going into her front garden. So, roots can be powerful. One day, I think it was 1988, I was walking through Hyde Park, and I was dismayed to see literally hundreds of trees flattened. Because Hyde Park is an amazing place to walk in, and I spent a lot of time in London in those days. I was up there about once or twice a month. This morning I was walking through Hyde Park, and the trees had flattened. It wasn't long after the hurricane that Mr. Fish told us wasn't going to happen, but it did. And I couldn't understand why so many trees had succumbed to the hurricane. And someone told me the reason why. You see, the water level in the land in London is near the surface. The water table is near the surface. And therefore, the trees don't have to send their roots down deeply to find water. It's all on the surface. And because they didn't have these deep roots, they were blown over by the wind. I also read recently an article about vines in Napa Valley in California. And this is what it said. Drought stretches the natural vine's root. As long as there is abundant water on the surface, the root feeds there. But drought sends the taproot deep in search of moisture. The more frequent and severe the droughts, the deeper the taproot grows. In a similar way, when things of the world, what we've been relying on, may become difficult and so on, we often send our roots deeper for spiritual nourishment. What do we mean by spiritual nourishment? It's what we rely on from God to sustain us. We send our roots down. So I'd like to look at a few aspects of that spiritual roots, if I may. I'd like to look first of all at withering roots. In Luke, we read, this passage from the sower. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It withered away. There was no substance there. And we know that Jesus explained to the disciples that, this was when people hear the word, but it doesn't really impact upon their lives, or may do for a short time, and then dissipates. In the book of Acts, we read these words, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice the word, they continued steadfastly. You see, if conversion is the beginning of our Christian walk, then cultivation is what follows. It is important that we cultivate that germ, that seed that starts off as our conversion, if you like. Many Christians start well, but soon perhaps give up or drift away, or go into what I call respectable mediocrity, mostly because they fail to draw on the resources that God has provided. We need those resources to survive, to grow. We talk, don't we, all the time about growing in our faith. And it's so important that we do have that food. In Hebrews, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You see, the Christian life may become impoverished, not because of sinful lifestyle, but because of apathy. Because we don't, as Andrew mentioned this morning, delve into the Word of God. Pastor reminds us so often how important that is, that we are being fed all the time. And why is it that some Christians seem to spring those roots down deep, 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 and others just not grow in the faith? Jeremiah says it in verse 5 of that passage that I read. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Not his mind, his heart departeth from the Lord. See, it's easier to put our confidence in things around us, and therefore we drift into what we feel is a secure life. It might be money and possessions, academic qualifications, business success, personal skills, or even physical attractiveness. I'm not saying these things are wrong, but when we rely on them, when that becomes our focus, then something is void in our lives. We are not maturing as Christians. Someone once said, maturity is shown by where we place our dependency. So important. Where we place our dependency. What are we dependent upon? When things don't go as well as we feel they should, sometimes we react rather badly. And when we do, we are not getting that blessing that we could have. I'm sure sometimes we come to church with a burden on our hearts. Sometimes we come to church. Do we always pray beforehand because we want that sustenance, that feeding? You see, if we trust in God and believe all things are working according to His eternal purpose, our roots start growing deeper and deeper and deeper. Sadly, many Christians never gain this trust. They grumble and complain and lose their God-given opportunity to develop their spiritual roots. Their roots are restricted rather than extended. We've heard a lot about the pandemic, and pastors talked an awful lot about it. And it could have been one of two things. It could have been a drought as far as many Christians are concerned. And sadly, I know both Andrews and myself have found that many of the churches that we've spoken in for years are still not yet open. And we wonder if some will ever open again. It has been a terrible drought for many, many people. They haven't had this fellowship, this wonderful fellowship, this gathering together, this feeding off each other. But on the other hand, it's also given opportunity to delve further and further. A lot of us have had an awful lot of time on our hands. Have we spent that time usefully delving into that word, growing, sending our roots down deeper and deeper into the ground? You see, temptations all around us. I mentioned on Wednesday that, once we are saved, we're not in a bubble protected from sin. There's sin and temptation all around us. But as James says, that every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Even if we could get rid of the external temptations on us, there is this inner thing within us. As I mentioned on Wednesday, we know that Jesus faced many temptations, and many others other than those in the wilderness. There were many occasions when, I'm sure he was very tempted when some of the scribes and Sadducees and the Pharisees were having a go at him all the time. your disciples are working on a Sunday because they pulled, you know, some of the sheaves of wheat out. Petty things. I wonder how often he was tempted to talk to them about the splinter and the plank. You know, but he never did. But what did he do? He replied to them, "It is written." He went back to the word. That word is so important in our Christian walk. He went back to the word and foiled them time and time again, as he foiled the devil in the wilderness. And before he was tempted in the wilderness, he spent quite a lot of time without food and on his own. And very often when we are lonely or hungry or our minds are not focused on things, that's when very often temptation can get into our lives. When we receive Christ as our Savior, God gives us a new nature. But it's unrealistic to believe that the old sinful nature will disappear completely. When we turn to God, we will be more aware and better able to avoid yielding to temptation's power. We need to be prayerfully seeking God. We need to be delving into His Word for that support, for that guidance. I'd like to take you briefly to story in 1 Samuel. King Saul had been instructed by Samuel, his spiritual mentor, to go to Gilgal and wait 7 days, and then he would come and bless the troops before they went into battle. But then we read this verse. "And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, 'Bring me hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings.' And he offered the burnt offering." Now, Gilgal was a remote area that very often the Philistines never went anywhere near. But they were coming closer and closer. And Saul was getting frightened. And some of his army were disappearing, going back home. So he decided to do the burnt offering, to make the sacrifice. Was he of the tribe of Levi? No. Was he, was Aaron one of his ancestors? No. Then what right did he have? He didn't have a right. And just as he was concluding, Samuel arrived. He rebuked Saul and advised him that his days as a king were numbered. You see, Saul's lack of faith was a sure recipe for disaster. His roots didn't go down enough to trust in God, to have faith in Samuel, to have faith in God. No, I know better, I can do it myself. How often is that something that reflects our lives at times? I know better, I can do it myself, I sort it out. Our roots must go down and not be withered, not the fatal flaws that Saul had that cost him his throne. How difficult it is sometimes to avoid that stony ground. But that was on the negative side. Let's have a look more on the positive side, nourishing those roots. In Psalm 37, we read, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." That's a lovely word, isn't it? Upholdeth. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. What a lovely picture that is of God there supporting. The Christian can develop roots that go down deep in God through, as you were reminded this morning, as Pastor reminds you so often, a daily study of his word. Not a cursory glance, a daily study of his word. Thorough and constant prayer. We have, as a church, have seen so many amazing results of prayer over this last year. One day we need to have a special service to give thanks for the answers to prayer that we've had, one after the other. It is, you know, as a church, we are aware, and that's what I love about this church. It is a praying church. As someone who's been a recipient of prayer, it is amazing to get that text, "I'm praying for you." It really gives you a lift. But you know that it's a genuine message. It's not someone who says, "Oh, I better tell old Rogers, old Sarge, that I'm praying for him. I expect he'll expect it." No. It's amazing that it's genuine. It's heartfelt. And by depending on the Holy Spirit. You see, by saying that a Christian can develop roots is not to suggest the Christian life is a matter of sort of self-effort, that we can do it all ourselves. But we can, if we try, not as Jeremiah said in that passage, looking like a bush in the wastelands. He's talking about tumbleweed, just being blown this way and that way. No, Christian maturity is not accidental. It takes place when we draw on the resources that God has provided. The resources that God has provided. It's not accidental. You know, this is the resources that God has provided. And that noise is my microphone falling because I just realized I haven't got it on. Sorry, Josh. But God's will is that we should live fruitful lives. Fruitful lives. And that the fruit is produced to extend like vines. We encourage our roots to grow. The roots that draw nourishment from the close relationship with daily dependence on God, in whom we trust. The more deeply our roots go down, the more fruitful our lives above ground become. Again, going back to Psalm 1. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And again, Andrew said this, you know, about getting into the word in the morning and the night. Day and night. Not just a cursory glance. We said that growth comes from a daily delving into his word. But it's all about priorities in our lives, isn't it? Is it a matter of ticking a box? All right, read my scripture this morning. That's done. Let's get on with something else. You see, do we have to-do lists? You know, Joe is amazing in terms of to-do lists. I always, when I was in work, always every morning I start off the day with a to-do list. There's nothing more satisfying, the end of the day, to see all those ticks all the way down. And then suddenly you see a glance, oh yeah, well I didn't want to do that anyway. But seriously, is our delving into that word at the top of our to-do list? Is that something that, you know, we just have a tick for it and that's it forgotten? It's so important that we meditate on that word day and night. Christian history bears testimony that people in the past, you know, many of the great people have been people that have delved into that word at all times. That word has supported them through life. I was reading recently something from Bishop Paul Kern, who was an American of the Methodist tradition. He was famously known to spend so much time in the word. And he said these things: "I read my Bible because, firstly, Within its pages, I find power for the ordering of my inner life. Secondly, it assures me that mankind is supremely dear to God. Remember that. Mankind is supremely dear to God. Thirdly, it tells me whither I am bound. It tells us where we are going. Whither I am bound. And finally, in its pages are found the secrets by which mankind walks the pathways of light and hope. You see, the more time we give to God's word, the more unshakable we are in times of trouble. It's like the man who built his house on the sand, isn't it? Unless we've got that firm foundation, it can rock. Our lives can rock. Our Christian walk can rock. Or, worse, even worse, be washed away. And that's so sad. You see, many of you like easily persuaded to chase after the next exciting and latest fad, promising a new and improved better life. What's the fad at the moment? Mindfulness. It's even coming to the schools now. Mindfulness. And you're sitting there, what on earth is that? Oh, you have no idea. Mindfulness. But, you know, as a child of the 60s, I'll repeat that. As a child of the 60s, I remember transcendental meditation. When even the Beatles had their own personal guru, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And I lived through flower power. Love and peace, man. Where have all the young hippies gone? Come on, John, I expect you said there are no old hippies. But seriously, there was no depth in it. We had all these, you know, communes that lived together. But what happened to them? I don't know. They all became doctors and dentists and teachers and bankers and disappeared. But people are blown by the wind, aren't they, of change. Something different. On the other hand, if we build our lives on foundation of God's word, we will quickly be able to avoid those diversions or roadblocks before us. And we're better able to get back on track in our own lives. Many of us feel confused and anxious when we're making major decisions. How should we spend our money? I've never had that problem. How should we spend our money? Who should we marry? Where should we live? What job should we take? Etc., etc. There are countless times when we have decisions to make. Questions. Major questions. How often do we take them to God in prayer? Or how often do we make those decisions ourselves? In the 16th century, Ignatius of Loyola wrote that he became what became a spiritual classic. The Spiritual Exercises. In this, he reminds us that we should make every decision with the proper end in mind. For a Christian, that end or purpose is to deepen our life with God. Will our decision improve our Christian walk? Will it aid our Christian walk? Or, worse, will it interfere with our Christian walk? Embracing that principle, reduces our anxiety because we realize the decision we make is merely a means to an end. In Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I am amazed. No, I shouldn't say I'm amazed. But I have been gobsmacked, is the word, by the number of occasions the word has spoken to me, the Lord has spoken to me over these past months. We've all gone through different traumas. But it is so satisfying to open the word and see an answer there. A verse will jump out at you and we say, thank you, Lord, for giving me that support, giving me that help, giving me that encouragement to carry on. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Thus, as we pray and delve into his word, we should always be seeking God's will in our lives and making sure that our roots go deeper and deeper. And if they do go deeper, then they will yield fruit. They will yield fruit. Finally, have we got that depth of faith, knowledge and understanding that we can pass on to others, particularly the lost? When I was teaching, I enjoyed a subject. I taught RE for a long time. I also taught sociology. I loved teaching sociology. But when you're teaching 17 and 18-year-old A-level students, you really have to know your stuff. It's no good to say, oh, that's a good question. Let me think about it and I'll come back to you. Because they'll turn around and say, well, you tell me which book you're going to be looking in and I might as well look it up myself. You really have to know your stuff. You really have to be on the ball. And it's important. I'm not saying that we need to have a comprehensive biblical knowledge. But we really have to know what is the foundation on which our faith is based. People ask us. We believe in a Christ who was crucified, who rose again, who ascended to heaven, who sits at the right hand of God. But importantly, one day we will see him. And that is the foundation of our faith. And it's so important that we are clear. Because, as Jeremiah continued in that passage, but her leaf shall be green and shall be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. If our roots go down deep enough, we will be yielding that fruit, exactly as the vines would. Many people talk about pursuing God's story in their lives. And they may be called, may not be called to the mission field or to the ministry, but they may be called to speak to that neighbor, that person down the street, that colleague in work. After all, Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And it is important that we are prepared. That may well be our mission. That may well be our ministry, to speak to that one person. You see, it's important that we don't forsake the love that God has for us. That we demonstrate it in our lives to other people. It is an amazing love. It is a sacrificial love. We heard the songs earlier, which were intended as communion songs. And, you know, I've discussed with Darren when we'll have communion. But they were wonderful songs that spoke about the cross and the blood that was shed for each and every one of us. There were many people who went through life sacrificing. We need to make sacrifices in our lives. Yes, when we talk about priorities, we might cross off some of those priorities because it will impinge upon our time delving into the word. We need to make sacrifices. Lots of people over the years have made sacrifices. I was thinking in terms of Billy Graham. He had to sacrifice personal security. Martin Luther King sacrificed his life. But when you think of the impact of both those men on our society, they were sacrifices worth making. What is God asking you to do? You see, from the beginning of time, He's had a pattern for you. He's had a purpose for you in life. What is He asking you to sacrifice? What is He asking you to do to make sure those roots go down? What fruit is He asking you to bear? In Philippians, we read, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He has got a work for each and every one of us. Are we willing to perform that work? Are we willing to find out what that work is? As a child of God, are we among those who exudes, that's a lovely word, exudes joy in our lives? You know, there are times when life can be a bit hard. Believe it or not, John will probably confirm this, occasionally I can be a bit of a misery. But really, what amazing truths we have in our lives. What amazing promise we have in our lives. We should be exuding that joy. I mentioned last Wednesday, I've met people who come into a room and they light up that room. I've also met people who come into the room and turn off the light. Nobody present, of course. But seriously, it is important. In Psalms, again, we read, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Not necessarily the great wonders of the works in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament. The wondrous works He's performed in our lives. And He has performed amazing works in each and every one of our lives. When I mentioned earlier about the answers to prayer, I was not surprised. I was just noticing how many nods there were in the congregation about answered prayer. He's done wondrous things in our lives. He's done wondrous things in this church. And it is so important that we are worthy of that love. You see, today, wherever we may go, the King of Kings is with us. And that's an awesome responsibility. But, as He said to Moses, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Go, I will teach you. I will be with you all the time. And in Isaiah, He assured Israel by these words, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of righteousness. He will hold us. We come back to that hand again that I mentioned earlier. The right hand of righteousness. Let us determine to reveal His love and His peace through the kind words and prayers and acts of service, or even that listening ear to other people. We have power to have a positive impact all around us. The need is greater now than it ever was. The presence of Christians in this world diminishing. And therefore the Christians in this world need to stand up and be counted. It is so important. You see, when we go through this pandemic, I'm sure a lot of people were, why aren't you fearful? Why have you got that sort of joy in your lives? We can answer them in a number of ways. We have the assurance that God is with us. Deuteronomy. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. It's the word of God that guides and empowers us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A light unto my path. And is the presence of the Holy Spirit is with us in all that we do. Sometimes we don't recognize that Spirit is there. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In you. Not around you, in you. You see, you think of the impact the coming of the Holy Spirit had on those early disciples 2,000 years ago. He can have that same impact on us. He is with us and in us. Are we worthy ambassadors of Jesus Christ in our lives? In a devotion recently, I read these words. Worthy are you, Lord. I will sing about your holy name throughout the day. I smiled at that. I will sing about your holy word throughout the day. I'm not asking you to sing all the day long. Well, we can't sing that, wouldn't we? But at least, you know, we can take his presence with us wherever we go. Do we show joy in our lives? Or do we compartmentalize our Christianity? What do you mean by that? Well, are we great Christians on a Sunday and quite good Christians on a Monday? But as the week draws on, you know, does it wane a little? And we need that refueling, you know, that we get on a Sunday. I often said this, you know, how far does the message go in your hearts and your minds? Does it reach the door? Does it go beyond the door? Does it go into your work? Does it have an impact upon you? You know, we are being fed in this church week after week, and this is, you know, why we are missing our pastor. We are fed so well week after week after week. Does that feeding help our roots to grow and grow and grow? And for those who feel they have no roots to grow, those who haven't yet accepted the Lord, as Pastor said so many times from this pulpit, it is simple. You simply recognize and admit you're a sinner. You believe that Christ died for you, and you confess your sins, as he says week after week. It's as simple as A, B, C. But the results are amazing. They are amazing. And if you're not saved and you're in this room, look around at some of these people. Look at their smiling faces. Underneath those masks, they are all smiling. They're bubbling. But seriously, you know, it is an offer that's open to everyone. Take it now before it's too late, because we are fast running out of time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the strength of your word, the way in which it guides us and feeds us, enables us to grow in our Christian walk. To send those roots further and further down, Lord. Oh, how we love you. Help us to be those worthy ambassadors that we want to be. Give us the strength we need, Heavenly Father. Give us the words to say. Let us demonstrate in our lives the love that you have for us. We ask all these things in through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we have our singers up for the last hymn, please?
Paul Hooper. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all that we have. Help us to be mindful of the things we have and not to focus on the unnecessary and the things we don't need. Thank you for the messages this morning and this evening, Lord, that we have a God who loves us dearly and who gives us reprise for us daily and just wants the very best for our lives. Help us to be confident in that and help us just to own that and take that into the week ahead that we might shine for you. Amen.